Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together tonight to remember again the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are here, present with us now. Open our hearts and our minds to you, and shine on us with the light of your great grace and kindness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So, beloved, this Christmas, let it be our care and our delight to hear again the message of the angels, and in heart and mind go to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, to see Jesus lying in a manger. Therefore, let us read and hear in Holy Scripture the account of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience unto the glorious redemption brought to us by this holy child. And let us make one another glad with the sounds of our carols, hymns, and songs of praise.
The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known."
The ministry of John the Baptist prophesied. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double of all her sins." A voice cries, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry," and I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Lord of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young.
The birth of Jesus Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
The angels announced the birth. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Prophetic words about the baby. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servants depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what had been said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fastening and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
We don't find waiting easy, do we? It starts young. A few minutes into that several hour car journey, "Daddy, are we nearly there yet?" Or, "Mummy, how many sleeps till we can open our Christmas presents?" And it doesn't get any better when we've supposedly grown up. How many of us press the button for next day delivery? Not because it's actually urgent, but because we can, and we don't want to wait. And I was thinking this could be a prism through which you viewed the whole Brexit process in my home country. Some are impatient for it to happen, some are impatient for it not to happen. But whichever side you're on, the worst thing is the waiting. The tensions within people become unbearable and become tensions between people. And so we end up with the food fight of the last few months. Someone told me last night that he was fascinated by the British Parliament because it was a bit like a circus. I thought, well, that's actually one of the kinder things you could say about it. We don't find waiting easy, any of us. And so spare a thought for Simeon. He's the elderly man we met in that last reading, who brought prophetic words about the baby. He was righteous and devout, we're told. He spent his days in the temple courts. And here's what kept him going. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Christ, the anointed one, usually a king. That's who he was waiting for. We might put it as God's anointed king. It's been a while by the sound of it. He's waited, and he's waited, and he's waited. But now that promised day has finally dawned. It seems in some way he's given a tip off by the Holy Spirit. So he heads to the temple, and there he runs into a couple who've come there to perform various religious ceremonies, all related to the birth of their 6-week-old baby. It's Joseph and Mary. He came in the spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." I wonder how he felt as he held that baby that he'd been waiting so long for. Perhaps relief that the wait is over. Perhaps excitement at what the Lord may be planning to do with this baby who will be the anointed king. Perhaps regret that he himself won't be around to see what becomes of the child as an adult. At any rate, it puts him in poetic mood. He writes a little poem. I think there's at least one person here who once sang in an English cathedral choir, and he'll know this off by heart as it's part of the service of Evensong. If you've got the programme in your hand, it's just across the page, the bit in inverted commas. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. And you may have noticed I put a snatch of that on the front cover of the programmes. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. And I want to take a few minutes just to look more closely at that phrase. In English, we sometimes talk of things being under wraps. Usually, it's a piece of news or information. You may have been appointed to a new job, and you tell your close family and friends, but you tell them to keep it quiet for now. It's still under wraps. It's not yet official. The news is still hidden. It's secret, but it will be uncovered and unwrapped in due course. And you could just about use that expression for an object, something like a present under the Christmas tree, which is still under wraps, waiting for the day to dawn and for that wrapping to be torn off. Now that's the idea behind this word revelation. Literally, it means an uncovering or an unveiling or an unwrapping of what had been covered or veiled or wrapped. And for a child preparing to launch a raid on the pile of presents under the Christmas tree, there are really three essential things that matter. Who it's from, there might be a label on it, and that'll give them an indication of how excited they need to be. Maybe it's from the great aunt who always sends a rather dull calendar every year of birds. And then you want to know who it's for. That might also be on the label. Is it for yourself on its own, or is it going to be shared with a sibling or whatever? But above all, you want to know what's inside. Obviously, not knowing that is the biggest cause of impatience and hardship in waiting. So let's think of this light for revelation to the Gentiles in terms of a present, in terms of a gift waiting to be opened. And how will those questions in the child's mind be answered? Who's it from? Well, Simeon talks of it as your salvation that you have prepared. And the you he's talking to is God himself. Whatever is being revealed and unwrapped here, it is a gift, a geschenk from God. And that should make us sit up and take notice if God is the giver. And who's it for? And before we look at the label here, just bear in mind the milieu in which this is happening. It's in Jerusalem, and not just in Jerusalem, but in the beating religious heart of that city, in the temple courts. The parents and the child are there to carry out religious ceremonies required of new mothers and 6-week-old babies, things which sound quaint in our ears, like sacrificing turtle doves or young pigeons. And there are two elderly people who have significant words to say about this baby and their devout adherents, followers of the Jewish faith. So all in all, it's a very Jewish setting or milieu. So it sounds rather strange to us. And what would we expect to read on the label? I think we'd expect something like, from Yahweh, the God of Israel, to my people, my beloved people, Israel. Which is probably not designed to make most of us sit up and take notice.
But that's not what this deeply devout Jewish man sees on the label.
Who's it for, this present from the Lord, waiting to be unwrapped? In his words, it's for the Gentiles. You may wonder what that word means when you saw it on the cover. Even in English, it's not a very well-known word, certainly not outside church circles. It actually derives from the Latin, gens, gentis, for tribes or peoples. The German is die Heiden, which somehow doesn't sound quite so polite. And it translates the Hebrew word goyim. You may have seen that occasionally in films. It's what Jews will often use affectionately to refer to those who are not Jews, to all the tribes and peoples not descended from Abraham. That's what Gentiles are. Most of us here this evening belong to that group. So perhaps this should make us sit up and take notice. It's to us, as well as to Israel. The gift that is being unwrapped and uncovered may be rooted in Judaism, but it's not restricted to that milieu. According to the label, this revelation is a gift for all mankind, Jew and Gentile together, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Well, that's all we can tell from the label, if you will, who it's from and who it's for, and therefore whether it'll be of interest to us. But what you can't tell from that label is, of course, what is actually inside. So let's think about that. And this is where the metaphor of a present, Kashenk, slightly breaks down. With a normal present, you can begin to interact with it as soon as it's unwrapped. You can start straight away to make your Lego dinosaur or crane or whatever it might be. You can, if it's a book or a body of knowledge, you can begin immediately to read it and soak it all up. But this present, this revelation, is not something you can put your hands on and pull out of the wrapping paper. It's more a subject than an object. It's more a someone than a something. That's the insight that Simeon is given. It's an insight he probably didn't fully understand himself. This light for revelation is a person. At this point, it's a tiny person. The six-week-old baby he's holding in his arms. He won't live to see this light beginning to shine brightly. We have to read on in Luke's biography of Jesus to see that happen some 30 years later. But the Holy Spirit has given Simeon this inkling, this andeutung, of what is to come. Bit by bit, as the child grows up and then the adult begins his ministry, it becomes clear that he is both fully human and fully God. We don't have time to trace that all out now, but here's the thought I want to leave you with. How do you get to know a person? How do normal human friendships develop? Perhaps think of someone you've got to know recently, whether it's just a friend or some romantic interest. It may start with observation more than real communication. You become aware of a joint interest or perhaps of a spark of mutual attraction. That may be all you have to go on to start with, but a friendship doesn't get going until you're communicating directly. And the friendship is then built by a process of revelation. You spend time together. You talk with one another. And as you do, things which have been hidden within you become unwrapped. Each one reveals things about themselves which are invisible to the naked eye, things you couldn't know unless the other spoke, things which can only be made known by a steady process of unwrapping, of unveiling who you really are. And that's the sort of revelation that Simeon is talking about here, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And the extraordinary thing is that in this case, it is God who is doing the unwrapping and the unveiling of himself. He comes among us in the form that we can best understand and relate to, in human flesh. This uncovering is no more than that, God making himself known to us. That's all. It's very simple, but it's mind-bogglingly profound as well. Surely this should make us sit up and take notice. Simeon would have told us this is not entirely new. The Lord had been in conversation with his chosen people, Israel, for centuries. But it was always indirect communication through intermediaries that we know as the prophets. They never saw him, they just heard him. It's as if God was talking from behind a curtain veiled from their sight. But what Simeon here recognizes is that in this child, the Lord has stepped out from behind that curtain. He's put on a human body and stepped out onto the stage of our world. All this so that we can know him, so that we can enjoy the relationship with him, that is impossible unless on his side there is an unveiling, an uncovering, an unwrapping of himself. So that's what's inside this present that we remember every Christmas season. A couple of thoughts for you this Christmas season. Will you, if you haven't already done so, will you unwrap this present for yourself? Don't just treat it as another gift. Put it on the shelf for another day. Put it in the pile of things to sell later on eBay. Unwrap it yourself. You can do it very simply. Take the Gospel of John, for example, that's on your seat. Take it away and read it over Christmas. There are also Luke's Gospels, if you want to continue with the Gospel we're looking at now. There are a few of those orangey booklets at the back. Unwrap it yourself. If you do, you may find yourself discovering things that even Mary, his mother, would have been amazed by. This next song we're going to sing actually is a new one that we haven't sung at Christmas before, but it talks about what Mary wouldn't have known at the time. Amazing things. And if you have already unwrapped this gift, then I ask you, will you treasure this gift? Will you see to it that this gift becomes and remains central in your life? Because if you do, you will find this light for revelation to the Gentiles, this Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Good Shepherd who walks with us through each day, through the valleys, and through the mountaintop experiences, in hardship and in good times, providing for us and protecting us and looking after us. And after we've sung the song about Mary, we'll hear Psalm 23. Imagine that you are able to speak that psalm, that be your experience of the God who has made himself known to us and walks with us through life. Ponder that and treasure it.
The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
True light and life in God's promised city. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever.